Bill. Bill?
Hello, Howard.
Hey, man, you're on the air.
Okay. How are y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great.
This is really weird, too, you know, because you see, this is what's going on. You see, this is why I'm kind of...
This is the whole thing with this new CBS move.
Yeah, I'm a little uptight about it. I'm doing Letterman on the 12th, and I'm thinking it's going to be really uptight atmosphere. I know they're taking the show way too seriously now because they're doing well, you know.
Well, not since Elvis was censored from the waist down on the very same stage has someone been edited from the neck up, and that's what happened to me.
You didn't even say anything that bad. The network?
Absolutely harmless.
Well, first of all, what happened was you got on the Letterman show because you were called at the last minute because didn't somebody cancel out?
Right. The former cook of the Gambino crime family who was in the witness protection program was hawking a cookbook.
Yeah, it was called the Mafia Cookbook.
These guys aren't known for their cleverness.
And then I read an article that Letterman pissed off the mob when they canceled this guy, the Mafia Cookbook.
Oh, he's in all kinds of trouble.
Well, of course, when they found out he was going on, they started getting all these calls. Is this guy going on?
Yeah.
What time do y'all tape?
Yeah. Now, Bill, you're not in the mob, are you?
Not that I need to talk about, no.
Right. So, in other words, it wasn't like they put you in because you're in the mob as well.
A mob replacement, no.
But why would
I used to be a waiter for the mob.
So Letterman cancels him at the last minute and puts Bill in, who's a comedian.
Yeah.
Right.
So Bill evidently had been screened. Who screened you? Morty?
Morty, Mary Connolly, all the people there.
Like, how do you get screened for the Letterman show? What, do they come to a comedy club and listen to you?
Yeah, they didn't do that this time. They just went over my set, you know, verbatim as I did it for them. And I was supposed to be on the Friday before but got bumped.
Let me get this straight. So you do it for them over the phone or you have to go down to the Letterman offices?
I went down to the offices. We did it over the phone. We did it several times.
All right, let me get this straight. You walk into, like, Letterman's, you know, building there.
Right.
Morty sits in a room with another woman or something?
Well, no. Just
and you stand there and do your act for them?
Just the woman. Yeah, I'm a little performing monkey boy.
Oh,
for the
man.
Two of them.
Man, I thought it was bad. I've got to go do my pre-interview on Monday, but I get to do that over the phone. You got to go do your stand-up act in front of them?
Yeah, but
and how can you do it? Do they sit there and laugh?
Well, yeah, but I did it over the phone as well, and they laughed. I mean, the whole thing was laughable.
Whenever I do the pre-interview with them over the phone, I usually they never laugh and stuff.
Right.
Because Frank Gannon used to do the pre-interview.
Yeah. Right.
I'd be sitting there, and I'm like telling them, okay, I got this great thing I'm going to talk about. I really don't want to talk about it ahead of time because it ruins my spontaneity, and I really would rather just talk to Dave naturally about it, but I'll tell you what it is.
Right.
All right, what is it?
Right, well, Frank used to also do that great wince.
Yeah.
And he goes, ooh. I don't know. Ooh.
Yeah, Frank Gannon.
Like he was in direct pain.
Yeah, right. He'd go, ooh, Dave, I don't know what Dave would do during that. And I go, well, what is he, an idiot?
What is Dave supposed to do?
What is Dave ooh. It's like, you know, hey, Frank, you know, you're making me feel like I'm, I don't know, like I'm Judas or something.
Well, you know, Frank said something very funny to me once. He said, well, you have to understand our audiences. And I said, what, are you grow them on farms? Are they comprised of people? I know them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a person.
Yeah, you know, I'm a person. I've met a few people. And I've performed in front of a few people.
Right,
that's
when I'm
true.
Not performing, I'm one of your audience.
In fact, I know your audience better than you do.
But that's true. They act like there's somebody different out there when you're watching the Letterman show.
Well, everywhere I've ever worked, that's like when we went to NBC, mm-hmm. NBC Radio, they go, you don't understand who the family is of NBC listeners. I go, what are you talking about? They go, you don't understand the audience. The guy goes back. The program director, and he has a bunch of interns go through magazines and cut out pictures of people. But listen to this. I swear this happened to me, and Robin can back me up on it. They made a big collage of different people, all white people pretty much.
Yeah, occasional blackface.
Wait, occasional blackface.
No Hispanic.
Out of a magazine.
These are people who've already been picked by an advertising company
right.
to represent a false family.
So they hang this big montage of people. And they write under it, NBC Family, and they hang it in the studio. So all the jocks at the station, all the personnel are laughing at me now because I need a big poster in front of me to keep reminding me. Hung it back up so everyone could smell it. And then they took it down in like 2 days because it reeked. Bastards.
Peek on the American Family. Good for you.
Yeah. Fred, you remember it?
Yeah.
Remember that poster?
Was laughable.
It was ridiculous. Brenda had to spend like a week putting that thing together.
Oh, is that who put it together?
Brenda had to put it together under orders of Dom Fuhrer von...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Boy, Fred, you know more about it than I do.
I love
yeah,
to
I don't
imagine
know that
the meetings
she did.
To go on preparing for that.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine...
Memos and meetings.
Oh, yeah. Well, I printed all that in my book. I printed all the memos and the meetings. I got all that stuff behind the scenes, and I threw it in my book. but we're not here to promote my book.
What's your book called? Something Parts? Private
Parts. Private Parts. Well, yeah.
I'll promote it for you.
I just read in the... I was just in the middle of reading in the paper how I was banned from bookstores, but... Okay. Anyway, so...
A lot of banning.
A lot of banning going. A banning in the air, but...
1993 in America, too. You know, in 7 years, it's going to be the year 2000. You can do your own math. I can prove that.
Yeah, and you know what's weird? How old are you, Bill?
I'm 31.
All right. Well, I'm 39. I can't believe that my generation now is in control, in power, and we're more conservative than anybody.
Yep. Well, it's all what they deal with, numbers and demographics. They don't deal with people anymore.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so this wave of hysteria has taken over. So anyway, so you go down to Letterman's offices, and you stand in front of Morty and the girl, and...
Yeah, this happened. This set was approved the week before.
Right. So you were all set with your material.
Right.
Okay. So they liked your material. And you know what? I read in the paper what you were doing, and it was real funny, and there was nothing really that... I mean, you did some religious stuff.
But it was so harmless. I mean, even people in church would laugh at that little comment. And I ran this set by my mom on her porch in Little Rock, Arkansas. You're not going to find more mainstream nor middle America than my 65-year-old mom.
Yeah, for example.
And she hooted and fell out of her rocker.
Yeah, well, then again, it's your mom, you know what I mean?
Was
she's going to hoot
was
because...
Was she in the family montage at NBC?
Probably not. She drinks a lot and doesn't have teeth, your mom?
Well, no, but she's not that prejudiced when it comes to my show. Only comment was my hair kept falling to my eyes.
But doesn't your mom put out dirty records as well on her own label? Anyway,
yeah,
so
party records.
Yeah, party records.
She was on the Chitlin circuit for a long time. Mama Hicks.
Mom's Hicks. So anyway, so you go down to the Letterman offices. You do your material. You okay it with them. Everyone's cool. And like typical material would be, and it's real funny material. It's this material, Robin. You, for example, hey, look at this. Do you think Jesus really wants to come back when everyone's wearing? I'm not doing justice to your material, but. You know, everyone is now wearing crosses.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've noticed that. Everyone is wearing crosses.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it has any religious meaning.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's...
Well,
it looks like Satan worshippers.
I even softened it by saying nice sentiment, but you think when Jesus comes back, he's really going to want to see a cross.
Right.
Maybe that's why he hadn't shown up yet. He's up there going, Dad, they're still wearing crosses. They missed the point. I'm not going.
Yeah, it's not a nice reminder.
Right. It's like going up to Jackie Onassis with a rifle pendant on, you know?
Yeah, what was that?
It's like going up to Jackie Onassis with a rifle pendant on.
Yeah.
Thinking of John, Jackie. We love him. Trying to keep the memory alive.
Right. So, and that's all you said. You know, you said that kind of material. It wasn't sexual or anything.
No, but they called them, the censors called them hot points.
Hot points. Like,
yeah.
Like, why should we do anything interesting? And why should anybody, you know, why is everyone...
We don't want to excite people. We don't want to get them thinking.
Yeah, I mean, right. but why is it that everyone's so frightened of people's thoughts? I mean, you know, it's just like, well, hey, what do you think? These are Bill Hicks's thoughts. Why don't we listen to them and just, and listen?
And you
just...
know what's a bummer? I've seen a million comics go on who I thought were atrocious and who bombed,
yeah.
And yet I didn't write any letter.
And also, CBS doesn't, you see, CBS doesn't understand what they have in Letterman. They've gotten the late night franchise. They now have something that is the hottest show on television, and they'll blow it. They'll blow it for Letterman. I understand Letterman's real upset about this.
Well, it's the only show I do, and I'm a big fan of the show.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a disappointment on top of all this, because I thought it was the closest to me I've ever been on the show.
Right.
How many times have you done the show?
This was the 12th time I've done it. Yeah, and I'll tell you something. No one has ever come up to me after any of the other 11 times and said, boy, I saw you on Letterman. It was great. You know why? Because it wasn't me. I'd been so declawed by
right.
the censors.
Right.
That I went on as this, you know, perfunctory little joke blower.
Right.
And I wasn't me. My stuff requires an odd dramatic where you think I'm serious for a minute, then I take the air out.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what you do. And the thing is that this is the first time you went on at 11:30, though, right?
Oh, well, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you have
right.
to understand the 11:30 audience.
Yeah.
There's a different audience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all freaked out now that there's a different audience. They don't understand. No, it's the same audience.
Well, they just stayed up late.
There's just more of them available to watch.
The show was taped at 5:30 in the afternoon, and that crowd loved it.
Yeah, well.
So what, 11:30 to 12:30, everyone becomes overly sensitive, and they have a crayon in their hand. And
you don't understand the people who are watching.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. What
yeah, you're stupid. You don't understand people.
Yeah.
They do. So the point is that, so then all of a sudden, I guess, did they call you at home and say, hey, listen, we had to cut out your whole act?
Yeah, they called me at the hotel after I'd relaxed and everything. Hey, it was over with. It went great. Everyone agreed. Morty said you killed. Absolutely wonderful.
So they were happy.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were very. Dave gave me a Havana cigar during the break. You know, it was really a nice, relaxed, great day for me.
And Dave gave you a Havana cigar?
Yeah.
Where'd he get them?
Dave doesn't ever give me anything.
He's upset with you.
You know what Letterman said to me? I was on a year ago, and I'm going on again, which is weird. But and this is the first time I've ever asked them to go on because I'm promoting the book. But I don't know if they ever would have had me back or not.
I'm sure they would have.
But Dave just said to Dave turned to me.
You're on, and you're on Leno. It's hilarious. I almost said the wrong word.
Yeah.
It is hilarious.
Yeah, but
I don't think any of your thoughts have made the world fall off its axis.
No, as a matter of fact, when I went on Leno, they tried to pre-interview me and all that, and I avoided all of that because I think that sucks. I think if you want Howard Stern, I've been given a list of rules, too, for the new Letterman show.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I said, hey, listen, I called you to go on, so I'll comply with any of your rules. I don't care. I just want to promote my book and get word out because I like what I wrote, basically, and I want people to read it. But I think there shouldn't be any rules. I think you should go on there and just have Howard Stern on or have Bill Hicks on.
You wonder if people can actually have conversations without these pre-interviews.
Yeah, I know.
Can people really talk to people if they don't have somebody find out what they're going to say first?
Well, you know, I think...
But CBS is blowing it.
This is a horrible attitude. And I tell you, the idea they have standards and practices, this is, after all, network TV that hawks beer every other commercial, the number two killer drug in America, while... during War Against Drugs specials with Connie Chung, and they have no sense of irony nor qualms about doing that, yet they find my just simple ideas somehow not suitable.
Hey, Bill, by the way, Chevy Chase just called in. He said he'll let you do whatever you want. Just come on. If you could be there tonight.
Well, he's called since then and asked me to host. So.
Yeah, right. They're thinking of making you the host of that show.
They're changing the name of that theater.
Yeah, they want to change it to the Bill Hicks Theater. Stick you in there.
I have my mom as my Ed McMahon.
Yeah, be good. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. I know what you know what's really embarrassing? You tell all your friends and your family.
That you're going to be on.
And then all of a sudden, they call you at home and say, listen, we're cutting it out. And then you frantically go, oh, man, should I call everyone and tell them?
Yeah, did you do?
Isn't it bad when you have to call everyone and say, oh, I'm not going to be on? And
my mom was furious. My parents were absolutely furious. Because I'd run the set by them. And they've talked to me over the years about I do a lot of material that is way, way out there. But obviously, I understand the ramifications of network TV.
Yeah, but my mom is, like, furious with the FCC. She's out of her mind
exactly.
over it.
Exactly. Right. My mom, too. And she was absolutely livid. And I mean, if she could be in the... I would like to meet these standards and practice guys, because I got a right hook. I've been saving for somebody for about 7 years.
Yeah, I know all those standard and practice guys. When I was at NBC, I used to have... Remember, they used to sit me down, five of them, on a couch. They would sit there like robots and tell me and read me the Riot Act every week? It was five of them. And you can't outnumber them. I mean, you can't... If you start to say something, they each have a new angle on it.
Plus, everything they say is insane, so there's no way to talk sense.
Yeah, oh yeah. None of it makes sense. And then, as soon as they run out of arguments, because you're 10 times smarter than they are, they go, look, you don't understand who listens.
You just can't do it.
Yeah, you don't understand what's going on out there.
You know what I found is that not 90% of the people in this country are actually reasonable and very reasonable people. They kowtow to that 10%.
Yeah. 10% idiots.
The 10% idiots who are in a trailer with a crayon writing, I saw God talk about Jesus, I'm offended, signed X. And they get that letter, and they take the one person in the room who complained over the 250 people who howled with laughter.
Yeah, well,
now you understand everything.
Yeah, because now you understand why I have $1.5 million worth of fines against me, because one guy keeps complaining against me out of millions of listeners.
The FCC wants to change all of radio for one person.
Well, you know, another thing is, too, this idea that...
It's a joke.
I'm offended. Well, I have news for you. I'm offended by a lot of things, too.
Yeah, but
where
do
I send my list?
Yeah.
Life is offensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just get in touch with your outer adult and grow up and move on. Reasonable people don't write letters because, A, they have lives. B, they understand it's just TV. C, they know if they see something they don't like, something they do like might be on later. I've seen many comics I've hated. I've seen many religious shows that have offended me. I've never written a letter. I just go about my life.
Well, the problem is there's also a lot of white people out there who are freaking out over what's going on in the black community, and they think that the blacks...
Bill Hicks isn't going to change.
They think that the blacks are watching Howard Stern and Bill Hicks, and they're going to watch it, and then they're going to go out and go on another L.A. rampage. That's what they think. That's what they think is making the blacks out of control.
And
Bill Hicks is the problem.
And they don't realize there's a whole problem in that community with family breakdown and all
of
that
course.
Other stuff.
And all due to alcohol, probably, not drugs.
Yeah, that they keep talking on TV.
The effects of alcohol on their dad beating their mom, the breakup of the family, and all hawked by these networks who have such high standards. They consider themselves the moral arbiters of this country, which I think goes a long way towards explaining the problems with this country.
So anyway, so did so Letterman's people, were very apologetic. I mean,
well, you know, here's the punchline. They asked me back in 3 weeks, and I said, I don't think I can learn to juggle in that short of a time.
Yeah, you've got to come up with a whole new act, don't you? So you're not going to go on?
He's tossing balls now.
I would love to go on. I love the show, and I love Dave. And the fact of the matter is that they keep asking me to come on, and then they don't want me to be me. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's like it's so tempting to go on. Well, that's what happened to Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce used to go on network television and do like these straight shows.
Right. Nobody knew who the real Lenny Bruce was.
And nobody cared. And, you know, you watch those appearances now and they seem so mundane and so ordinary. You go, gee, was Lenny Bruce any good? But the real stuff that he was doing was in clubs.
Right.
So, you know, and it's weird, too, because if you're a comedian out there, you know, being on Letterman gets you better billing in clubs, gets you more money on club dates, gets you well-known. Hey, maybe a network guy will see you and he'll put you in some kind of TV special. So it's really exciting to be tapped by Letterman. But then on the other hand, you go, oh, man, but what good is being tapped if I'm not going to be funny and be me?
Right.
But do you think $14 million makes up for the gutting of his show?
Yeah. As far as he's concerned, he's not walking out. $14 million is a lot of money, even with the Clinton tax plan, if it all goes through.
And the other thing I wanted to say was in his promos prior to the debut of the show on CBS, he kept saying it was going to be the same old Dave.
Well, it is the same old Dave, just CBS is cutting chunks of it out.
Yeah,
Dave,
right.
Dave is
same old Dave, brand new sensors.
Brand new sensors. That's the new spot. That's the new spot. Well, Bill.
Still, it's the best show on TV, and after watching the horrific Tonight Show with Jay Leno, which I think is the number one cultural train wreck in the country, me and my friends watch it every night like it's a Zapruder film, wondering exactly which point Jay's soul leaves his body. I think it comes right at the intro.
It is funny, too, because I used to go see Jay Leno in clubs in Washington, D.C. like 11 years ago, and Jay was very cutting edge. It was very underground to go see Jay Leno, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, Bill. Wasn't he kind of like,
no.
he was like the cutting edge comedian.
He was the number one comic in the country at one time.
Yeah, and then it is kind of weird to see the new Jay.
Talking with Joey Lawrence from Blossom. I'm sure that was his ultimate comedic dream. So, Joey, good to see you again. What are you, 16? Got a license? Oh, God, what have I done with my life?
Yeah. They even filed down his jaw, I heard.
Well, I sort of think of him as like a head on a stick now, you know, and somebody's down there working it.
You know, I would love to produce The Tonight Show and really just get, you know, because they wrote an article in the paper today how, you know, when Jay didn't have any competition, he was starting to get some young viewers and stuff, and now that Letterman's on, all the young viewers have left him,
yeah.
And now he's, you know, he's playing a 50-year-old.
I think Jay, I think he's the only comic in the world playing to an audience older than him.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird that the 50-year-olds are more comfortable with Jay Leno.
Well, I think what it is, they have old TVs without remote control, they can't get to it to change the channel.
Maybe that's what happened. Yeah, they're just glued to that channel 4.
But it's like watching Monty Hall guest host the Mike Douglas show in 1974. That's the feeling I get when I watch the show.
Yeah, so Jay, you know, is sitting there and they keep saying, gee, you know, how could Jay appeal to young, hip people? And I just said, well, you know, there's a way to produce that show that would loosen him up a little. I mean, you know, Letterman's just got the whole thing locked up.
But if he keeps up this with CBS...
Well, he knows that. According to what I read in the paper today, Letterman is furious with them. And I know that feeling. I've had chunks of my show at NBC removed.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives you nuts because you know that it was a good show.
Right. And it's part of the flow of the show, too.
And what is it? You can't talk about religion? You can't talk about... And if Bill Hicks is doing a wild bit on religion, that's what separates Letterman from Leno. Leno won't do that stuff.
You've got to have a venue for new voices. And not just me... But there's a lot of comics with a lot to say who've sat there beating their head against the wall wondering why my stuff's clean. And what you find out is they don't want you to talk about ideas on TV.
It's very frustrating, too. At least remember the Christmas show we did at Channel 9 and they wanted to cut out my nativity scene?
Right, yeah. How can you have a nativity scene on a Christmas show?
I played the Virgin. Yeah, I said, you know, it was really weird. I did a Christmas show for Channel 9. It's special. And I said, look, the nativity scene is crucial to this. Cheech and Chong were the wise men. I was the Virgin Mary. I had my legs up in stirrups giving birth to baby Dan Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to edit out my legs spread in the stirrups. I fought for 2 weeks. They delayed the show. They would not show the Christmas special until sometime around Easter. And finally, they put it on the air. You got to fight for these
things.
Well,
you don't understand. Mary gave birth in the cross leg position.
Yes. Read all about it in my book.
And then she was out working that day, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Vietnamese ladies.
Hey, Bill, sorry that happened to you.
Well, I appreciate your interest, and I appreciate having me on.
And by the way,
before, and I really enjoyed it.
If you want to see the Bill Hicks show, Wednesday, October 27th at Caroline's at 8 p.m., see him uncensored and live.
And the show that was banned from CBS.
Will you actually do the material that was banned?
I'll do it the first 7 minutes. Then I go into my long spiel about the value of TV in our culture, and it's quite humorous.
Excellent.
What date is that again?
That is Wednesday, October. Oh, I think you have a new fan in Robin. Yeah, yeah, she'll be down there with her F cups.
I hope someone can come out, but I appreciate you having me on.
Will you say FCBS on stage?
Well, I have a new moniker for him. The C stands for something else. Now.
I got you. Bill Hicks, Wednesday, October 27th. Go see him at Caroline's at 8 p.m. And believe me, the lovely Caroline will be there, I'm sure, too.
Yeah.
We'll probably be looking at Bill in different with different eyes now.
He's been censored.
He's been censored and all over the newspaper.
I must support him.
You know my motto, F Caroline. All right, Bill.
Thanks, Howard.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Rob.
Bill Hicks,
bye-bye.
Everybody.